All right, so let's continue with the Gemara and Chavtas. So the Gemara gets into a little bit of an Agarita. Okay, so the Gemara is after the Gemara says that we don't make a taina for the Mesis from, and the Raya is from the Nachash, right? Because the Nachash could have made the taina Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishomen, Divrei Rav Shomen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make the taina for him, so we see Ein Toan in Lamesis. Alright, it still is a very difficult Gemara. So the Gemara says, after that, Mi Omer Chizkiyo, Mi Nayin Shkola Mosef Goreah, So when the Nachash struck up the conversation with the Isha, so he said, Vayomar el ha'isha, af ki amar lokim lo sochlu mikol eitz hagan? Did God say you can't eat from any of these fruits? Okay. Vatomar ha'isha el ha'nochash mipri eitz hagan nochel. We can eat from the fruit. U'mipri ha'eitz asher besoch hagan, amar lokim lo sochlu mimenu. But from the fruit of the tree in the gan, Hashem said not to eat from it, velo sigu bo, and not to touch it, pen tamusun, lest you die. Okay, so Rashi over here says, lo sigu bo, vaKadosh Baruch Hu lo hizhiram al hanegiyah. But God didn't tell them not to touch it. V'hatosefes goro, and that addition of the issur of touching it was a reduction. She'dochaf hanochash eschava al ha'ilan, because the nochash pushed chava towards the tree ad she'nogabo, until she touched it. Omar lo ri'i. Shein misa ala nagiyah. So he said, you see, there's no misa for touching. Af ala achila lo tamusu. You won't die for eating it too. So that's the rest of the story. Vayomer hanochash el isha lo mos tamusin. So that's the drasha. Why did his word carry any weight with her? So Rash says, Dochafo ad shenogabo. Omar lo, kashem shein misa benegia, kachin misa b'achila.
Well, where did she get the lo sigu?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a question. Rashi just says, Hosifo al hatzivoy. That she was Mosef. Lefikach bo'ali de giron. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Now, it is true, like Yonah was saying, it is a bit of a question who added that siyag. There is a medrash that says Adam told her that way. You're right. There is a medrash that Adam told her that way.
Well, I thought the pshat was just like a psychological thing that occurred to them. Like, oh, you can't eat it, so...
It's taboo.
You're right.
So that is, So I saw the Torah Tamim, of course, they're bothered by the question. They're bothered by the question if she's the one who made up the siag not to touch it. So then she should know that touching it is not going to kill her.
Right.
But,
And furthermore, her argument to Adam would hold no weight. Is that right? Because didn't she convince Adam, she said, look, you know, touching it wasn't a problem, so eating it.
Well, she actually ate from it.
But then she convinced...
Yeah. But let's take the plain shot. That, like Rashi says, Hosifa al hatzivoy. So the fikach bali de giron. Okay, so what? Yeah, so what? So what's the idea over here? Kol of kol mosif goreya. Yeah, so what are you saying, Avi? I mean, also just in the story, if the nachash really pushed her into it, I mean, was nanas. She got knocked over and fell into the tree. You gonna get punished for that?
Yeah. Getting kikaris or whatever.
Right. Okay, but what's the idea of kol a mosif goreya? What is the phenomenon of a mosif goreya? I mean, the guy wants to add.
Well, it seems like a geder.
He's making a geder. So how is a geder a goreya? I mean, we don't say chazal or goreya when they're adding gezeros.
It's not
necessarily kol a mosif goreya, right? I mean, vasu mishmeres l'mishmarti. You have to make a geder around an isser.
What's translation?
Of what?
Goreya.
To reduce. To take away. The adding takes away. Yeah, go ahead.
Because like when they're sitting here, no.
Right. Now, in terms of the Rabbanans, this is what the Rambam explains in the Hakdama to the Yad. That the Rabbanan don't come in and say, this is Daraisa. If they would say it's Midaraisa, that would be Baltosif. Right? They're saying, in order to protect you from being over the Daraisa, then this is we're saying to refrain from having milk and meat together, because you might come to have them cooked together. Refrain from having chicken and meat cooked together, because you might have milk and chicken and milk, or you might have meat and milk, or whatever it is. But that's clearly added the central character of the Daraisa is not being altered. And this is serving the Daraisa. So that's why we don't make a gezeira le gezeira. Because a gezeira le gezeira would be like making the Rabbanon into its own entity. Right? Gezeira is always retains the character of what's mid Daraisa. That's why I think it's bad when people don't learn the distinction. They learn mitzvah and they don't learn the distinction between the Daraisa and what's the Daraisa and what's the Rabbanon. They're really missing out on an essential characteristic of what the mitzvah is. Okay. So over here, when we say kol ha-mosif goreya, it means in the sense of re-characterizing the mitzvah. Because by her adding, don't touch it. Okay, by her adding, don't touch it, that really was she was making some extrapolation on her own, based on her own idea, her own interpretation of the mitzvah. Okay, and therefore, really transforming it from an isser of a maisa achila, which is really essentially an idea of perfection, because it has to do with controlling your appetite. It has to do with recognizing the idea of gzeiras hamelach, right? There are certain perfections involved in that. But she turned it into, like you were saying, like a taboo item, like some sort of mystical entity that is, that has power and is dangerous in some sense. So that was the way she viewed it. The idea, when you see that she said and don't touch it, it showed that she was altering the idea of the mitzvah. That addition to it comes from a mistake that she had and how she was viewing it. Once she made that mistake, she was susceptible to the nachash. Yeah. So she interpreted it, in other words, she interpreted it into a certain framework that she had. And instead of analyzing it on its own terms. And in the framework that she translated it into, it was the idea of achila and touching were synonymous. But that was that addition was really a complete goreya, because it removed the real character of the mitzvah itself. It really replaced it with something that wasn't. It replaced the idea of the mitzvah, of a certain idea of obedience of to the Dvar Hashem, or to a certain perfection of the control of the appetite, into a more primitive type of a taboo item. And in the realm of the taboo, it doesn't matter if you touch it or you eat it. It doesn't matter if you trip on it and accidentally touch it. None of those things are different. It's just like a primitive force that you're projecting onto this item. And you're really elevating it beyond into something that it isn't. That's why Chazal say the tree was, some say it was wheat, some say it was figs, just ordinary things. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything special. I don't think anyone says apple.
I thought that was the last opinion in one of
their... Apple was one of the opinions? I don't remember.
It was the last one.
It's in Brachos, right? It's in case of Brachos.
Right, no, the reason...
No, it's Hosifa Latzivoy. No, so the way we're learning Hosifa Latzivoy means is a question that when you approach... It means to say when you approach the mitzvah, you have to approach it on its own terms. And you have to... And you only have a right, and you should analyze it, and you should... learn from what it is, not try to project onto it things that come from your own framework. And that approach of analyzing it from the standpoint of projecting from your own framework really is destroys the entire characteristic of the mitzvah. Because it just becomes another element of your own projection. But if you recognize what the mitzvah is, and you say there's an idea of a geder not to violate it, that's not going to alter it. That's the thing. I mean, because the problem is, how does she believe her own addition? That's the question. Right. That's why some say that it was really Adam who told it to her, because she wasn't there at the tzivoy. The tzivoy predated her, and Adam told it to her. So therefore, she really believed it. Right. That would resolve that problem.
So he had the projector.
No, but then you can say he did it just as a protection, but he didn't tell it to her as a protection.
He set up a geder, but didn't tell her that it was.
That's right. I think that's the way Torah Tumim wants to learn.
Right.
See, over here, the parish of the Anaf 8, he is on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov, so he says like the other way, that Adam told it to her that way. But because she understood it, that Negia was also Usser, so then he asked my question, even though she tripped and it was an onus, but that interpretation, those two mitzvahs together made her think it was like a sam amavas, like just a deadly thing.
What two together?
Achila plus negiya. Mm. There was, he's interpreting it like I'm saying, in the sense that what does the element of lo sigu add? It changes the character of the mitzvah. And it makes it into... like kryptonite, you know, like just something to stay away from. Don't mess with this thing because it's deadly. So then the Nachash saw she has a misunderstanding of this mitzvah. Therefore, I can bring her down. Even tripping her on it would disprove the incorrect idea that she has. But since that's the only idea that she has, she'll think that the mitzvah is incorrect. But that is definitely the truth, that, and that's what he explains also. The Ramban also says in the Chumash that Kol HaMosif Goreya doesn't apply to a Siyag LaTorah. It's because over here she said HaKarish Baruch Hu said Lo Sigu Bo. That's not a Siyag LaTorah. She said Omar Elokim Lo Sochlu Menev Lo Sigu Bo. That's the idea of Kol HaMosif Goreya. That if you like Avi was saying, every mitzvah has... all of the dinim of the mitzvah really work to produce a certain idea and a certain perfection of that mitzvah. And if you misinterpret the dinim and you attribute more dinim to it than exist, that's going to alter the entire character of the mitzvah. Right? And I think that's what happened with her. Whether the way it came about is that Adam misinformed her, or she projected this own thing onto it herself, the idea of Kol HaMosav Goreh is still true. It's still the same. The underlying concept of the mitzvah is going to be altered if you have different ideas of the dinim of the mitzvah. The dinim are going to give a different characteristic. If the din is achila, that's one thing. That's one idea of mitzvah. If the din is lo sigu, it's another din of mitzvah. But the point that the Anaf Yosef is expressing, and that's the point that I was saying before, is it's not just adding another iser to the mitzvah. It's not just adding negiyah to achila. The concept of an iser of negiyah changes the whole framework of what the mitzvah is all about. Turns it into a more primitive idea of taboo, which therefore doesn't have an exception of ones. I'm showing you the full extent of how it works. I mean, to my mind, I think it's like I think I mentioned this before in Shir. You know, if you go through like the halachos of, if you brought up, doing mitzvos, you just introduced it to mitzvos from the way people do them. So one thing that always seems to be an interesting example is of where the actual practice and the mitzvah itself are almost are not really what people think the mitzvah is based on practice and what the mitzvah actually is are completely different, and to my mind have a completely different effect. I think a good example of that is lulav, as mentioning it the other day, that if you just learn the mitzvah from the way people do it, you would think if the hadassim were not on the right, and the hadassim and the aravos were switched, or the aravos are higher than the hadassim chas v'shalom, you're not yotzei your mitzvah completely. You have this idea, like there's a very, very well orchestrated system of Natilas Lulav, and the Hadassim must be on the right, and the Aravos must be on the left, and the Hadassim should be higher, and that, as a mitzvah, actually is a very particular picture of what you're doing. But halachically speaking, there's no reason for that at all. I mean, Midaraisa, even if you picked one after the other, you'd be out there. If you had them all on the table, and you picked one, two, three, four, one after the other, you'd be yotzei tilas lulav. It's not brought down in the Rishonim, Hadassim, which side. It's all al pi Kabbalah, these different illusions that they're trying to tie in with the Netilas lulav. But it's not part of the Netilas lulav. Now, if you think you're not yotzei unless you have the Hadassim on the right, you have a very different idea of what you're doing than when you know what the halach is. Yeah, I'm saying that there are benefits to these ideas. There are things to gain from these ideas, but it has to be clear that they're superadded to the mitzvah, and not what the mitzvah itself is.
So what's the mosif? An idea or the laws you add on?
So the mosif is the law added on as part of the mitzvah.
Because if you add a mistaken idea you have?
Because it will result in a different concept of the mitzvah itself. That's what your goreya. How are you mosif? How is adding a goreya? When, like we were saying before, like the Rambam says about all of Torah in the Mora, he says anytime you have something that has a certain balance, whenever you add something to it, and that balance is perfect, adding to it will take away from its perfection. Right? Whenever you have a certain balance that is ideal, then whether you take away one element or add another element, you're going to shift the balance, which is removing it from its perfection. That's why the Rambam says, there'll be, you can't add or subtract any mitzvahs. The that's one of his ikarim. Of lo sosif lo sigra, the mitzvahs will never change, is an ikar. Why is it an ikar? Because that is part of the very idea of Torah. Right, the ikarim are sort of laying out the way to look at, the way that you have to understand Torah. So, he says, if you would, we believe, our idea is that the Torah is perfectly balanced. What does he mean by balance? He explains in the Mora. Like, it's not too strict on a person, that he can't, that it's too burdensome to do, and it's not too lax, that it doesn't help you gain perfection. It's the right balance of the way a person should live. If you would add more things, it would become too burdensome. If you would reduce things, it would become too lax. So the idea of Baal Tosaf or Baal Tigra is because it's saying that there is a certain perfect balance. Now, there's a lot to learn from that. There's a lot to learn from that, what the balance should be and how you live your life. But in the same sense, if you have a mitzvah that has certain requirements and it doesn't have other requirements, so that is defining... From those requirements and the lack of other requirements, you could understand what the underlying perfection of the mitzvah is. And if you add to it, you're changing what that perfection is. Yeah. No, it's really very common. This is really very common. Because most people who aren't learned, is really more common like the Adam, the way of learning it, like Adam told the Torah. Well, similarly. In other words, the ones who it's very common that now you have people who miss, because of a certain lack of education, or because they're just keeping mitzvahs in the way that they were instructed, without realizing the difference between the Raisas and the Rabbanans, they could really change the very character of what the mitzvahs are. I mean, if someone thinks... the most important part of Shabbos is lighting candles in the Erev Shabbos, and if you don't do that, you didn't keep Shabbos. That's a very different idea of what keeping Shabbos is all about. If you think you didn't eat Shalom, you're not Yotzei Shabbos. It's a different idea of what Shabbos is all about. That comes from people misinterpreting the Gedarim, or just the customs, as the Ikar. And then they find a place in their framework where it feels comfortable. Is it finding these things that fit comfortably into their framework, and they're projecting that onto the mitzvah? But it's only possible to do because all the things that we add, and the additions and the customs and the minhagim, all those other things, they're more susceptible to the to that type of thinking. The strict halacha, whenever you learn halacha in a strict way, it's almost jarring sometimes when you realize what you could get away with in halacha. Right, if I tell you halachically you can have the worst isser possible, but if it's mixed up in two portions of heter and no one knows which one it is, you can have all three of them. That changes your mind about what the dangers of eating isser are. Then if you think, you know, it's taboo, it's poison. Oh yeah. Okay, but let's do one. Then let's do the next piece of Gemara. It's a very funny Gemara. The Gemara is like this. So it's trying to prove Kol HaMos of Korea. So it says, so the first one is from Chava. Rabbi Misharshia Amar Mehocha. Listen to this one. It says, how do you know Kol HaMos of is Korea? Amosayim v'chatzi arko. Because the Torah says, Amosayim v'chatzi arko. How much is Amosayim? Two Amos. Right? What is he talking about? So Rashi says, Dal Aleph Mehocha, if you take the Aleph off of Amosayim, Kari Be Mosayim, that would be Shte Meos Amo. That would be 200 Amos. Yeah. Kol Osio Shebetora Havarosa Kiksivosa Kemo Asisa Vyamarta Kiluksiv Hei. V'chein atem chosar kemo osam chosar kemo osam mole. Okay, what is he talking about? He's just trying, the end of Rashi is just trying to explain how if you took off the Aleph, it would be Mosayim. Because Mosayim is spelled Mem Aleph Tov. So he's just saying the Alephs don't matter so much. The Aleph in the middle, that's called Havara. That's the Aleph that helps you pronunciate it. That's not always necessary. But what is he saying? Amosayim v'chatzi arko. The other one says, and then Rav Ashi says, Ashte esre yirios. Ashte means 11. Dal ayin mehacha havalu shte esre. It'd be 12. First of all, what are they talking about? So what is that about? Well, see, that sounds funny. What is he saying? He's saying, if it had no Aleph, it would be 200 Amma. So when you add the Aleph, you're knocking it down to 2. If it said Shtei Esrei, it would mean 12. Ashtei Esrei means you're adding something, and you're knocking it down to 11. It's a completely different thing. What was that called? Kol HaMosif Goya. I mean, in words?
Isn't that an example?
In spelling? In making words? You can turn one word into another by adding a letter, and it will be less, the sum will be less. I mean, it doesn't sound like a relevant kind of a concept. About the Mishkan, I understand. No, it's talking about the Mishkan, I understand. But first of all, what does it mean, Kol HaMosif Goya? Who's being Mosif over here? Nobody's being Mosif. That's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Amosayim. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do? And we're not talking about someone being Goreya. We're talking about being Mosif Goreya. We're not saying if you would remove the Aleph, you'll get more. That would be called a Goreya Mosif.
I think he's...
Right?
Sorry. He's saying you add the Aleph, which is...
No one's adding the Aleph. That's what the Pasuk says.
The Pasuk says, Amasayim Chet.
Yeah, the Pasuk does
say it. Rashi's just explaining that without the Aleph, it would mean 200. When you add an Aleph, it becomes 2.
Why does he need to point that out?
Because that's what the Gemara is trying to do. The Gemara is trying to give you an example of where you can add something and reduce what you had. How do you add something and reduce what you had? When you start out with the word Mosayim, that's 200.
We're saying the Torah does this.
If you add a letter, you'll get a 90. You'll get a 99% reduction.
It's not about the numbers. It's not about the numbers. Scary. It's about the laws. It's not about the numbers. It's about the laws.
If you have the word Shtei Asar, that's 12. If you add an ayin, you'll reduce it to 11. How can I prove to you that if you add something, you can reduce? Start with the word shtei. Write the word shtei asar for me. I can just add an ayin, and I'll reduce it to 11. What is this talking about? What relevance does this have to anybody's life? To anything other than these two words with numbers? And if I had the word sar, and I added the bays, it would become basar. So what does that prove?
It's not only changing the wording, but it's also changing the context of the law.
You're changing the word. You're just making a new word. I mean, what? That's a chiddush, that if you add letters to a prior word, you can turn it into another word? I just don't know what the relevance is. Right. Okay, 1 second. Adas Slahachi, just agav orcha, I'll tell you something interesting. The word ashte asar. Strange word. Huh?
It's in
a few places, but what does it mean? Where does that word come from? How does Ashtei Asar mean 11? Right, you got Bayom HaAsiri, 10. Shnei Masar is 12. Ashtei Asar, what does Ashtei Asar mean? What does that mean, Ashtei Asar? Okay? So, the Ibn Ezra has something on this. He says, this is like number theory, Yona. It's like number philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the word ashte, he says, means ashtanosav. It comes from the word ashtanosav. Ashtanosav means your thoughts. But he says it means masha yolidu machshavosav. What your thoughts give birth to, your, what they call brainchild. Ki'ilu ho'eser holid v'hu sod gadol. So, it's as if you're saying ashte asar, like what the tenth gives birth to, and that's a big sod. Ki'ilu ha'eser holid. Knows ashte, he says, comes from the word pasuk in Tehillim. Kamo ashte nosav, and over there means his thoughts. Okay, so he says over here it means what your thought. That's right. Kamo, it says here it means masha yolidu machshavosav, what your thoughts produce. Okay, as if the tenth is giving birth to something. Of course, it's ashte asar. It's what the tenth gives birth to. It's the product of the thought of the ten. So in the bottom he says.
About any other two numbers.
So in the bottom he says Ibn Ezra has this recurring theory going on. If you look through different psukim, like especially about the Shem Hashem Yud, the letters of the Shem Hashem, he has like all these numerological, philosophical numerological ideas. But one of them is Esther Hu Yisod Rishoni Shel Ha'Asaros. He goes like the tenth is like the second base. Like this one is the base of all singles, and ten is like the base of all tens. So 11 is like what the tenth gives birth. That's like the first of the series of the tens. I don't know. He has this funny theories. I'm just telling it to you.
Oh, okay.
But listen, this is where the Ibn Ezra is really fun. He says like this. He said, Rabbi Yona HaSfardi said a different pshat, what Ashte Asar means.
Was it Rabbi Yona?
No, with Ibn Ezra. So it's Ibn Ganach. Ibn Ganach is a big Baal Diktuf. Ibn Jinnach, I guess he says over here. He has a slash over the gimel. But anyway, so listen to this. I just love the way the Ibn Ezra just knocks down a pshat once in a while. Okay, so like this. So what was Rabbi Yona HaSfardi's pshat? He says, what does it mean, ashtei asar? It's very clever. He says, it means al shtei asar. It means that which is before 12.
Whoa. That's pretty good.
No point. Okay. Okay, ashtei asar, it's a contraction, al shtei asar. Al shtei asar means before 12. Why is 12 given a prominence? I don't know. Shvatim, I don't know. You can think of your own reasons. But Ibn Ezra completely destroys him. Listen to this. He says, he made two big mistakes here, he says. Now let's see, I'll give you a chance to figure this out. Ha'achas ki chesben shneim asar hu al echad asar. Hepach diburo. Ki cheshbon shnei masar, hu al echad asar.
Al denotes next.
Al denotes next, not before. V'ha'ed ha'neman mi ben esrim shana v'ma'ala. Now, ma'ala means is al, and that means from 20 and up. So when you say a number and something al, it means after it, not before it. Miben Esrim Shana Uma'ala means, and the numbers Al Esrim. Doesn't mean from 20 down, it means 20 up. Good, Yonah?
Sure.
That's one. And then he says, and the second big mistake is, if it was really Al Shtei, it really should have been Ashnei Asar. Not Ashtei Asar. Because ashte is lashon nekeva. The next day is shnei masar. Not shtei masar. So it should have been, even if you're going to say, first of all, you're wrong because al doesn't mean next, it means before. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean before, it means next. And even if it meant before, it would have been ashnei, not ashte. Because the next one is Shnei Masar is what we're counting here. We're counting Lashon Zachar. We're not counting Lashon Nekeva.
It's funny, I would have just said, when do you...
So he says, but rather, Ashte is a separate word. So that's not... In other words, the examples of Masharshia and Ravashi are saying a good case of Mosif Korea. Right? They're not giving you an illegitimate case of Mosif. They're saying here's a useful case of Mosif Korea. Because if the Torah would, it's just bizarre. If the Torah would have written another Mosayim, would have meant 200. So now the Torah added the Aleph. But what do you mean they added the Aleph? It's two different words. I just don't understand the whole thing.